The following is a special presentation of American University Basketball and Federal News Radio. This is AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, a weekly look at all things Eagles basketball. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan is brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance.
Back out to Reed, right side. He puts up the three and he makes it. Jesse Reed with a big three, and the Eagles have the seven-point lead over the Badgers. Jesse feeds off to Vosic. Marco, left elbow, puts up the shot, acrobatic style, and gets it to go. Vosic nails another one. Delonte trying to drive the paint, does so, puts it up and in. Nice shot there by Delonte Jones, his first bucket in an Eagles uniform.
Now with AU head basketball coach Mike Brennan, here's the voice of American University basketball, Dan Lang.
And welcome into AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, Dan Lang, alongside Coach Brennan and Nick Guerrero sitting in for Dr. Billy Walker. And this is leading us up to the conference opener, Patriot League opener for the Eagles in Baltimore against the Loyola Greyhounds coming up at 7:30. And stick around on the show. We'll also be joined by college basketball insider for CBS Sports, John Rothstein. But Coach, let's jump right in. As you know, non-conference play is over with. Now you get to begin the so-called second season. What was your biggest takeaway from non-conference play?
I was just glad that we got the freshmen all the minutes that we did. I told the guys at the beginning of the year, I said this a bunch of times, we're not worried about wins and losses. We just wanted to keep getting better. So hopefully we'll be ready for Loyola and for league play. I think we have done that. I think we have gotten better each game. I think our guys, feel good. I think they're ready to play, start league play.
Yeah, I think let's take a quick look back at Tuesday's contest at LSU, Coach. Your team shot 72% in the first half. I mean, it was just lights out for the Eagles. What did you see from your team after the first 20? And then we'll get a little bit into Ben Simmons and the rest of the LSU team.
Yeah, well, I think our guys realized that against a team like LSU that, you better come with your best game and, cut hard and move hard. So it was definitely our best half of the year and our best offensive half. So I was happy to see us scoring out of our offense and, guys were sharing the ball. Guys were, throwing backdoor passes and cutting hard. So it's good for our guys to see some tangible results. Now, to keep that up against a team like LSU is difficult for a full game. But we did, definitely take away some positives from that game.
And that's got to help with the confidence leading into league play, wrapping up against an LSU team with Ben Simmons, who many consider the best player in college basketball this season, and to come out and play so well, especially at the onset.
Yeah, no, we're just looking for, just consistent effort throughout an entire game. So, anytime you get sort of, a full four-minute segment, 8-minute segment, a full half, that's something that you can build on and talk to your guys about and say, okay, well, now, you're able to do it against a team like LSU. Now you just got to muster up that energy and be able to, finish out the game.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like the most from your team is the way you move the ball in the first half. I think LSU kind of came into the game a little slow. And I think that's something that, just from watching the game and watching some of the fans even at the Pete Maverick Center saying, wow, look at this American University team, look what they're doing. What were some of the things that maybe you guys talked about as you got into the locker room that you were pleased with at least?
Yeah, well, that's something that we emphasize, is sharing the ball. It's very difficult at the beginning, especially for new guys and young guys, because you're asking, everybody to just be a player and, make the correct read and everything. So, there's a lot of difficulty in doing this, but, once your guys get it, it's sort of contagious. So, it was just, we gave a great effort, but we knew that they were going to come back with an even better effort in that second half. And, I think we hung in there even, in minutes in the second half, but there was just one stretch where it was just, it was just too much for us. Again, hopefully you just learn from these experiences. And like I said, I think that, they've gotten better. Every practice, you see incremental improvement. So it's just keeping them positive, not telling them, hey, don't worry about your record. We're not worried about 2-10 right now. It's 0-0 and we're going into league play. So, we just got to make sure that they see the improvement from September till now and, going to the Loyola game ready to compete.
And as you enter the Loyola game and have non-conference play in the books, what has surprised you most to this point, about your team, about the way that they've played, whether it's a specific player, the team in general, anything in particular that's stuck out that you've gone, huh?
Well, I'm just happy with their resiliency, to be honest, because you can easily get down when you're losing games. And, you know, every day, after every game, you know, the next day of practice, they're out there, they're working, they're ready to go. They're in tune to what we're doing. And, you know, every day after practice, I feel like, wow, that was a good practice. We actually got better. So it's, you know, it's sort of juggling, you know, handling the tangible results of your record with actually improving. And I think our guys have done a terrific job of, you know, just staying positive and, you know, coming to work every day. And, you know, I see it and I'm happy with their progress. So, you know, I like this team a lot. And, you know, I think we'll be competitive in the league.
Talking about progress, I think, you know, you brought in a young class this year, guys that are still developing. But, you know, I think you take a look at someone like Delonte Jones and James Washington, guys who were, you know, you started them out slow. You gave them their first start at Mount St. Mary's, and I think you've kind of not let them run with it, but you're giving them the keys to the car a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the whole idea with them, we want to get them as many minutes as possible, get them to play as much as possible. We wanted them to sort of understand what goes into actually winning a full college game by the time we roll around the league play. So I think all that experience has helped them. You know, they're not typical freshmen right now. I wish I could have got Lonnie in there a little more. You know, the three, Delonte and James, have played a lot. Andrea has gotten in there a bunch, and Lonnie's the other freshman who I like a lot, is going to be good. You know, he just has, you know, Charlie and Marco and some older guys ahead of him, which makes it difficult. But I'm happy all those guys got all the experience they did.
And you look at Delonte, and over the last four games, he's shooting over 50% from the field. How do you see his game evolving from where it was and even over these last few games?
Yeah, well, Delonte, we knew he was going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of him getting comfortable within the offense. And, you know, we want him to score. You know, we want him to, you know, make plays. So he's trying to find that balance between, you know, when it's the right time to make a play and when it's the wrong time. So, you know, you'll see him with a lot of turnovers maybe in some games, and say Jesse with a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. But those are the guys that you're relying on to do stuff, you know, to, you know, look to drive, look to take shots, look to make plays, look to throw passes. So, you know, they definitely get more rope than maybe some other guys who you just want to, you know, sort of get it, you know, just flow within the offense. And, you know, if you're open, take a shot. These are guys that we want to be as aggressive as possible with the ball. And James is in that category, too.
You mentioned Lonnie a couple of minutes ago. I think just from watching him at LSU, I think we kind of saw a line that's evolving a little bit. I know at that point, you know, LSU had taken out some of their starters, but I still think that what he brought to the table and the leadership he had with the group he was out with, is that something that you were hoping to see from him?
Yeah, no, definitely. He, you know, he comes in with, you know, some physicality, and he's aggressive, he's vocal. You know, he played for a really good high school coach at Don Bosco. Kevin DeVario does a great job up there. So, you know, that's a big part of it. When you get guys from good programs like that, you sort of know what you're getting. And again, I wish I had more minutes for him, but he's definitely going to get himself in there the way he works.
Right now, you guys have four players with more assists than turnovers: Marco Vasic, Jalen Ray, Gabe Brown, and Leon Tolksdorf. Do you attribute that to familiarity within your system and to experience? Because all of those guys, I mean, granted, Leon is playing on the court for the first time this year with you, but he was with you guys last year after transferring. How do you look at that?
Well, again, I think the way with turnovers, I probably don't look at it as the same as other coaches, where, okay, you know, you sort of just give the ball to the point guard who does them all the ball handling because he's good at it. You know, we're trying to get everybody to throw passes and be involved and make plays, especially for a guy like Paris. I mean, we're throwing the ball to Paris way more than he's ever touched the ball in his life in any offense for any team. And we're asking him to do things that are very different. So, you know, the way we play, you know, you got to give these guys some leeway to try to make plays and throw these passes that you're looking to throw. So, you know, you get a bunch of turnovers against some teams early on, and the ball's flying over the gym, all over the gym. But then you go into LSU, and for a half, you know, you're getting layup after layup, and you're getting wide open shots. So you saw a little glimpse of, you know, what it could be. So hopefully our guys saw that too, and we continue to build on that.
And as we look at, you know, we talked about a few minutes ago how freshmen have dominated minutes for you guys in the Patriot League. When you look at freshman minutes, you guys are tops in percentage of minutes given to freshmen at 37%. Colgate's second, giving 34% of their minutes to freshmen. And Navy's last, giving just 3% of their minutes to freshmen. Those numbers courtesy of Patrick Stevens, who you can follow on Twitter, at D1SCOURSE, at D1Scores. And the Patriot League is a league that this season is a pretty young league, and over the course of time, it seems like experience has played out to, you know, give success in the league. How do you see that all playing in as we enter conference play tonight?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the top teams in the league, Lehigh, Army, Bucknell, at the beginning of the year, Bobby, you were all veteran teams, you know, so in our league, you know, those are usually the stronger teams, the teams with all the experience. So that, you know, that's why we wanted to give our freshmen and James and Delonte and these guys as much, you know, experience and minutes as possible, because they're going to be a big part of, you know, how we do in league play, of our success. So, you know, we wanted them to be as prepared as possible for league play. And I think we've done that, and, you know, they've done their part. They've worked hard. I think they've learned and gotten better. So, you know, hopefully it'll, you know, we'll be ready for those more experienced teams when we get to play them.
And we'll talk more about the Patriot League coming up in just a few minutes, as we'll be joined by college basketball insider for CBS Sports. Time for a timeout. Fans and alumni, get your tickets now for the next men's home games. That's Sunday, January 3rd at 2 o'clock versus Colgate for the Patriot League home opener. And then Saturday, January 9th at 2 o'clock versus Lehigh on AU's Alumni Day and our Patriot League 25th anniversary recognition game. Purchase tickets to all home games at AUEagles.com/tickets. Again, that's AUEagles.com/tickets. Back with more AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan right after this on Federal News Radio. And welcome back into AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. We're now joined by John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at John Rothstein. Of course, a great follow for all things college basketball and even a little bit about food. We'll get into that in a little bit, but let's jump right into college hoops and Patriot League. And John, you were the expert, one of the only experts, to choose AU to win the Patriot League. So after non-conference play, are you sticking with AU?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, you want to lean on great coaching, and we've seen great coaching at American the past couple of years in the Mike Brennan regime. And while the record may not obviously be what everybody in American wants, I think, you know, one of the things that American has done was play a extremely difficult schedule. I think, you know, Rhode Island and VCU were two of the top three or four teams in the Atlantic 10 when the season started, and LSU obviously is a team that has new life now that Keith Hornsby's back in the lineup. So I think that style of play always kind of takes more of a precedent in league play, and despite the fact that American doesn't have the record that a lot of people would hope, I still think that, you know, style of play will be a big factor when things get rolling, you know, in Patriot League play here over the next couple of weeks.
John, I like the direction you're going there, man. No, but yeah, I mean, I, in our league, it's always experience that's important. You know, hopefully we got our young guys enough experience to, you know, to be able to compete. So I'll do my best to help you out on your prediction there, man.
Mike, if not, you got dinner in July.
I appreciate it.
Now, when you look at the fact that the last non-conference game for the Eagles was LSU and went up against Ben Simmons, Coach, I guess we'll start with you. When you now have seen Ben Simmons up close and personal and played and gone up against him, what do you think of him?
I don't want to see him again. I don't want to play him again. No, he's super talented. I mean, you know, it's what everyone has seen. You know, he shares the ball. He just does so many things to make his team win. I mean, he... you know, if we help just an inch off of Hornsby too much, I mean, he's firing that pass over there. That kid's getting an open shot. You know, he gets offensive rebounds. He plays hard. He's, you know, he's very much a team player. So, you know, he's a handful, and he's going to be you know, a terrific player going forward.
And John, would you agree that Ben Simmons is the best player in college basketball? Do you agree with all the hype? Because you've, you know, obviously watched a ton of games so far this year.
You know, I think that Ben Simmons is clearly the best talent when people project things to the next level, and obviously he's going to be, you know, the likely choice to be the top overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft. But, you know, Coach knows this from his days at Georgetown in the old Big East, you know, the truly best players are the best leaders. And I think when you look at guys right now that are, you know, playing at the level in which they should be considered for National Players of the Year, guys like Denzel Valentine of Michigan State or Chris Dunn of Providence or even Buddy Hield at Oklahoma, the reason why these guys are being talked about as the best players in the country is because their team is winning. So even though Ben Simmons, I think, long-term has the best potential, I'd argue that the guys that I just mentioned are having a greater impact on the teams they're playing on, because at the end of the day, the one stat that matters most is the one-loss column, and LSU obviously is a different team now that Simmons and has, you know, the luxury of, you know, Keith Ormsby and Craig Victor, but I think you always have to look at, you know, all the stats are the things that, you know, you're using to fill up the box score affecting winning, and right now that's what you have to be determined for LSU.
And Coach, would you agree with the whole, with the fact of the leadership and how much that plays into how good a player really is?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think most coaches would agree with John. You know, if they had to win like right now, today, a game or their league, you know, they really would go with some more experience and an older guy. I mean, Denzel Valentine, you know, we recruited him at Georgetown a little bit. And just watching all the things that he does, you know, and what he's done in the past and how he's grown as a player. You know, I remember watching him as a freshman and a sophomore. So to watch his growth and you see his understanding of what needs to be done each possession. And coach, you know, a guy like Coach Izzo has, you know, ultimate confidence in a kid like that because of that experience. So, you know, John's definitely right on that one.
I don't know, I've seen Providence a couple times. I think Chris Dunn's one of the better guards out in the NCAA right now. You know, I think he has a couple other helpers on his team that really will help him. I remember last year just watching him, you know, guys like Austin DeRozier was someone who he fed off just inside the post. I think just from being a Northeast guy, seeing Providence in the Big East, I think he's one of the top guys, and I think he can probably go in the top part of the draft as well.
Yeah, you know, I think really, too, the underrated thing about Providence is the job that their staff has done, you know, developing players that are filling out the supporting cast. I mean, Ben Bentel right now is playing as well as any big man in college basketball. Jalen Lindsey has gotten more consistent. Junior Lumumba, who was a transfer from Cleveland State, has become a capable role player and lockdown defender. So, you know, I think that Chris Dunn obviously is the epicenter for everything that, you know, is Providence basketball right now, but I don't want to dismiss the fact that the supporting cast of the Friars has all elevated their games to a different level. I think that's one of the reasons why Providence is 12-1 right now, and they're having a season that has everything aligning the right way. They won a game on the last play, you know, against Rhode Island, and when you're a program that doesn't have tradition like a blue blood and you're trying to break through, you need everything to happen. It's similar to what's happening with Northwestern right now. Northwestern has had injuries, but they're finding a way to win the games they're supposed to win. And if you're a team that wants to break through and make the NCAA tournament and compete for a bid, you have to win the games you're supposed to win.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Northwestern does here as they sit at 12-1. We're talking with John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports. Now that non-conference play is pretty much over, when you look at the different schools and different conferences, high major, mid major, low major, I think it's interesting to see what each entity gets from non-conference play and sort of, you know, the differences as to which, you know, what you want to, when non-conference play is over with, have accomplished, John.
Well, you know, I think with realignment the past couple of years, one of the things that we've really seen is that for leagues like the Atlantic 10, the American Conference, and the new version of the Big East, the non-conference portion of the schedule is extremely important because that is a major opportunity for those leagues to make hay and win games against programs that are in Power 5 leagues. And I think if you look at what the Big East has done, the Big East has had a landmark year in the non-conference portion of its schedule. I mean, Butler has beaten Purdue, who was undefeated at the time when it got a victory. Xavier has won out and beaten Dayton and beaten Cincinnati. And, you know, Providence won a neutral site game against Arizona. So by winning those types of games, all of a sudden you're augmenting the entire perception of your league, because now those teams when other teams in the Big East are fortunate enough to play them in conference play, they become a big win.
And, John, the new defensive rules, be interested to get your take as to how they've affected college basketball this year. The key phrase, freedom of movement. That's what everyone's talking about. How have you seen it affect the game?
Well, I think, you know, games are quicker, which is a positive. I think, you know, you're seeing things, you know, move with a little bit more, you know, pep and so on and so forth. But, guys, I think a big thing, too, why the games are going faster is the change of the rule with the timeouts. I mean, it was brutal when you were watching games before and you would see a coach take a timeout with 4:25 to play in a half, and then, you know, we would come back from commercial break and then we would see another timeout taken, you know, because there was a dead ball at 3:55 on the clock. I think by eliminating that rule, it's really helped things. And, you know, candidly, I think that the freedom of movement and the new rules have hurt Mike's former employer, Georgetown. I think Georgetown was always one of the more physical defensive teams in college basketball. And Mike knows this because he recruited a lot of players on that roster. You know, JT3 has always liked having positionless players that could, you know, play different spots and be long and active. And I think one of the things that Georgetown has struggled with is some of these quicker mid-major guards that they've faced, guys like Justin Robinson at Monmouth and, you know, other guys that they've played, like some of the guards at Bradford, have been able to get into the paint, and that's been, you know, really opening up things at the three-point line. You know, Georgetown saw a stat last week in its last four games, giving up 33 made three-point shots. So I think for Georgetown, it's been a little bit of an adjustment with the new rules.
And I think it is for everybody. To be honest, I would this, or not from a coach's standpoint, John, I would take about 10 or 15 timeouts, to be honest, at this point. But no, I mean, I think you're right with the, you know, the freedom of movement. You know, some more physical teams, you know, it's an adjustment. You know, it's an adjustment, especially for, you know, teams that are used to, you know, getting out and pressuring and, you know, playing the ball physically and everything. So, you know, it's just something that every team and every program has to adjust to.
No question.
Now, John, when you look at the season so far as it's unfolded, what's been the biggest surprise for you? What's stuck out as something that you didn't know, or something that you just go, all right, I didn't realize that trend was going to be happening?
You know, I just think the unpredictability of college basketball is really at an all-time high, and I think that makes the sport that much, you know, more fun to cover. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year we had, you know, three or four teams separate themselves from the pack, Kentucky, Duke, and Wisconsin, and probably Virginia as well when Justin Anderson was healthy. And this year, it's about as unpredictable as we've ever seen. And I can remember 2 years ago, we had a 7th seed in UConn beat an 8th seed in Kentucky in the national championship game in North Texas. And I think a similar type of thing could happen this year, given the landscape of college basketball. And I think, you know, it makes it obviously more nerve-wracking for coaches like Mike Brennan, but if you know, are covering the sport, it's, you know, unbelievably entertaining. I mean, I was up last night till 1 in the morning watching a really good UC Santa Barbara team be the team in Washington that, you know, is unbelievably talented but is exceptionally young. So I think that's, you know, really what you're starting to see. The level of separation between mid-major teams and also, you know, high-major teams is getting really, really small, and we're seeing that by some of the results we've seen early this season.
Now, speaking of entertaining, your Twitter feed is pretty entertaining, at John Rothstein, and you like college basketball, obviously. That's one of your passions. Another passion of yours is food. You like to dine out. You have one meal. Where do you go? What do you have?
Oh, I mean, how long is your program? Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you guys. Like, it was a pretty, you know, calorie-filled couple of days, you know, for the holidays, like 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So, you know, it's conference play starting right now, so I got to have, you know, a little bit of a cleanse going on right now. You know, you kind of starting to, you know, get up in the morning and not putting your pants on the same way. But I think if I had one meal, I'd have to get back to you on that. That's kind of a loaded question. I wasn't prepared for that one.
You know, it'd be interesting because, you know, do you like to go more the fine dining, like an 11 Madison or a Daniel there in New York, or do you like to go more of the straightforward traditional type food?
You like Daniel, huh? I've never been to Daniel.
Yeah. it's pretty good.
I got to be honest with you. I had, you know, a girl I used to date, and I hope she's not listening to this program. I don't think she is. She's not that, you know, big of a Patriot League basketball fan.
I think you're safe there, John.
But in all seriousness, she would like spots like that where, you know, it's a scene and it's written up, you know, in the Times or on Page Six or stuff like that. And you go there and they give you no food. I'd be stopping at Sutton Pizza after because I had to load up. You know, they pay, it's like $200 or $300 a seat and they give you no food.
Right, right. You've been to plenty of basketball games, arenas, covered plenty of teams. Do you have a favorite pregame spread for media? Certain school that maybe really sets it out? Or maybe if you don't want to divulge what school, just what it is that they set out?
I will be honest with you guys. I do not cheat on my diet when I'm out on the road. Like, I'm pretty specific with when I'm going to, you know, go in for a meal. Like, I won't, you know, I'll try not to, you know, go off the wagon if I'm not social, if I'm not around people and things like that. And probably, you know, I try to keep things as tight as I can, again, if I'm not around people. Grilled chicken, egg whites, stuff like that.
Before I let you go, favorite place to eat when you roll here into D.C.?
Another great question.
We're doing our best. We're just putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
I will say this. Food isn't really, you know, I think D.C. is more about scene and atmosphere and, you know, being in, obviously, the capital of our country. I'm a big fan of the W Hotel near the White House.
Yes, yes, that is.
Top of the W Hotel near the White House. I'm a big fan of it. I guess, you know, I have, but again, like you guys said, like, you know, there's not a great Italian in D.C. You know, I guess you could find a steakhouse here or there. I've done Carmine's, you know, by the Verizon Center a couple times. I've done Clyde's, but D.C. is more ambiance than food, in my opinion.
No, that's I totally agree with you on that. Before I let you go, who's your choice to win it all this year?
Kansas.
Okay. We'll leave
Kansas.
It.
I'm gonna stick with the Jayhawks. I said at the beginning of the season, I've seen nothing really to waver on that prediction right now.
All right, we'll leave the conversation there. John, thanks for taking some time. Really appreciate it.
Guys, as always, stay hungry, stay humble.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it, man.
John Rothstein right there, college basketball insider for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at John Rothstein. As the Eagles start up Patriot League play, an AU basketball game is the perfect venue to host your next party or group event. Organize a group birthday party or neighborhood outing and enjoy the discounts and recognition at the game. All groups receive block seating, savings off the box office price, a welcome on the vendor video board, and a visit from Claude the Eagle to your seats, all for as low as $3 a person. Call the Athletics Ticket Office, 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIXX to book your outing today. Back with more AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan right after this on Federal News Radio. Back here on AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. And Coach, as we approach the Patriot League opener against the Loyola Greyhounds, checking in at 1-10, last in the Patriot League. They allow an average of 81 points a game. They've surrendered, on average, 10 points more than they score. What are some things that you guys can do to take advantage of that?
Well, we got to neutralize. I mean, the kid Jones is a very good player. He's like one of those guys in our league that, you know, he's effective because he can, you know, make a shot. He can put the ball on the ground. He's 6'8". You know, and, you know, that type of length really, you know, goes a long way in our league. But, you know, I think Loyola is in the same boat as us. They're just, you know, they just came off a good showing at Northwestern where they came out like gangbusters. And, you know, I know they're feeling confident, you know, even though they lost, they played well for a long stretch of that game. So, you know, I think they're just trying to, you know, stay positive and get ready for league play just like we are.
In Jones, you're referring to Jared Jones, top 10 in the Patriot League in scoring, rebounding, and block shots, averaging almost 14 points, 8 rebounds, and a couple blocks a game. Dealt with knee and wrist injuries last season. He has 3 double-doubles this season. So last season, you didn't get a chance to see him at all, and now, you know, he's a key cog for them.
Yeah, no, he's a versatile player, and they got some experience on their team. I mean, the kid Walker, you know, he's only a sophomore, but he already seems like he's like one of those guys that's been there forever because he just, you know, he dominates the ball. He plays a ton of minutes. He played all year last year as a freshman. So he's got, you know, a lot of experience behind him. The kid Hubbard's a long-range three-point shooter. So we got to know where he is. You know, he's like one of those guys where he'll take a shot in the game from wherever and make it, and our freshman will be looking at him saying, wait, you know, looking at the court saying, did he really shoot it from that distance? And, you know, so we just got to be prepared for all of that. So, I mean, we know that, you know, It's going to be a competitive game. They're going to attack us.
Yeah, I think you take a look at their schedule, almost kind of like what American's gone through. A couple, you know, big name teams on their schedule. They went to Kansas, like you said. They played Northwestern. A pair of overtime losses to two former teams in the MAC, and then they had that buzzer beater loss against LIU Brooklyn. You know, what are some of the things? Obviously, we've talked about this before, but looking at Loyola and who they scheduled, was it a type of schedule to prepare themselves for league play?
Yeah, and I think we all do the same thing. You know, you want to play some of the top teams in the country to get that experience and for recruiting purposes. And then you're just trying to find some games, you know, where you have sort of similarly matched opponents to sort of mimic a league game atmosphere. So, again, you know, I was watching that Northwestern game, and, you know, you look from afar, you're looking at the record, and, you know, they came out with, you know, a lot of positive energy, playing really well. So, you know, it looks like they're on the right track and heading in the right direction. So we just got to make sure that we match their intensity throughout the game.
And we'll wrap up the show right there as we want to thank John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports, for coming on. And don't forget, coming up next, it's the Eagles versus the Greyhounds live from Wrights Arena on the campus of Loyola Maryland in Baltimore. For Coach, for Nick Guerrero, I'm Dan, reminding you to grab your tickets now for the Patriot League home opener. That's upcoming on Sunday versus Colgate at 2 p.m. Log on to AUEagles.com/tickets to get your tickets now. Stick around as your Eagles tip off conference play in minutes versus Loyola.
Thank you for listening to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Today's show was brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan on Federal News Radio. Archived episodes available online at AUEagles.com.